Had a ham, and he had a terrible ant problem, and no matter what he did, he had ants. And so one time he took one of those old bathtubs, you know, that kind of had claw feet, and the old bathtubs, and he put it in the middle of his camp, in the middle of the cabin, filled it with water, and then anchored a floating plate in it, and put a piece of jam bread on it. When he came back the next week, there were bridges of dead ants. And ants dropping off the ceiling down to it. And, you know, it hardly slowed him down. All right. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to our token Italian to get somebody to pray. Mr. Santa Susa, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather here today in your house, Lord. That we give you all the glory and honor. For the pastor, come forth with your message. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So, to the saints at Ephesus, but then if you're faithful in Christ Jesus, this letter's for you, okay? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's quite a statement. If you stop and think, what are all spiritual blessings? List them sometimes. I don't think you'd list all the spiritual blessings in your lifetime, okay? And yet he said he's blessed us with all those in heavenly places in Christ, okay? Then he says, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, we're going to look at this again. We looked last week with that idea. We saw the predestined is only used four times in your Bible, two times in Romans 8, two times in Ephesians 1, okay? And in Romans 8, we saw that what Paul was getting ready for was the rapture. He's getting ready for that redemption of the purchased possession, and he called that the adoption, where, you know, it's one thing for him to born a new man within me, okay? My new man has never sinned. In fact, 1 John 3:9 says it can't sin. That's eternal security, okay? There's no way in the world that it could ever sin. Now, God has a big problem with the old man, all right? I have a big problem with the old man. And who keeps trying to drive the bus, okay? Keeps saying, hey, let me run this for a while. You know, I'll handle it the way I want to handle it, all right? And God's trying to train me to walk so that the new man handles each of the things that come up, okay? To be a mature Christian means that in most aspects of your life, you have surrendered to the new man within you, to what the Spirit of God would have you to do in your life. That's what it means to be a mature Christian. Pastor Hain has been teaching for 2 weeks about the things that would make you stumble at that. And you have to kind of work and realize, well, what's causing me to stumble where I'm not walking in the new man? Okay? Those things I need to get out of my life. Okay? And if there's something other people don't like, but it never seems to bother my relationship with God, okay, keep it in your life. Okay? But the measurement isn't what your brother thinks or something else or, you know, some book you read by Joe Schmo. It's your relationship with God. What's happening there? Is it, are you staying sensitive to the things of God? Do you have something in your life that when you do it, you lose all sensitivity to where God is, what he's doing, anything else? And probably best you purge that out of your life as you would purge it out of your life. Okay? Best to get rid of it. So the thing is, we saw how this idea of predestined last week was that idea there's a body in heaven that's eternal, never been made, it's always been there, it's as old as God himself, which is forever. It's actually part of God, okay? And it's waiting for you, and God by foreknowledge knows you're going to get in there. Not by dictating it to you, but by foreknowledge. He knew would Kyle Beal would listen to Hector Sotomayor, and finally this years-long stumbling and agony over his soul was settled in Christ when he went home, okay? God knew that moment that would happen, okay? Yeah. There's never been a time God didn't know that was going to happen, but he didn't force it on him. Never said, Kyle, your life now is mine, and you're a zombie walking this way, and you're going to do these things. That never happened that way, okay? Instead, what God, by foreknowledge, when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he put Kyle out of there. And Jesus Christ died with Kyle, buried with Kyle. His soul went in the flames of hell. Kyle's went there. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost and in fire, okay? And then raised again with Jesus Christ with all those sins burned off. They're gone. They're over. And then he borned in him a new man. That's born again, okay? And so what happens then is the Christian becomes a person with two sets of controls, okay? Two sets. Now, if you've ever gotten a pilot's license, you sit in an airplane, there's two sets of controls, okay? And, my pastor used to teach people to fly, you know, so we'd heard those things all the time. So why didn't he teach you to fly? You ever seen me drive? He was never even tempted. People say, I drove by your home, I did all this. I don't see you, you know. It's just one of those things. Watch a little Mr. Magoo or something, you'll understand that. But the thing is, those airplanes had two sets of controls. And there used to be an old lady he knew in her 80s still teaching people to fly. And one of her fun things used to be was to tell a young kid, you can steer the airplane. Meanwhile, she's steering it with her feet over here. This kid thinks he's steering the airplane as it's on the runway. You know, they're going somewhere, and she'd do that. But two sets of controls. When you got born again, God put another set of controls inside of you, which run without a sin nature. What a wonder! Wouldn't it just be wonderful if you could run your life without sin? Well, God thinks it's wonderful. The problem is, about 30 times a day, you don't think it's wonderful, and you decide to do it the old way, okay? And then it's grievous. Now you're stained. You're in the old man. You're stained. You're hurting. You're what the Bible calls carnal, okay? You're following your carnal nature, okay? And how do you get out of that? You confess your sins, okay? Now, Pastor Hain has, again, the best explanation that anyone has ever given of that, okay? The idea of confession in the Bible isn't just going up to a priest and saying something or whatever. It's that idea, the confession of faith in the Bible is where you agree with God. You agree with what God thinks, okay? And when you go to God and you tell him about your sins, and it's exactly what God thinks about your sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and then this wonderful thing, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He takes you back. You're no longer stained by that old nature. You're walking holy with Jesus Christ. Will you keep that for 3 seconds, 30 minutes, 2.5 hours? I have never in my life spent a day where all 24 hours I walked in the new man. That's never happened to me, okay? Never happened. The Pentecostals talk about eradicating the old man, you know, and the old nature. Then you follow them and think, my goodness, all right, if that's the new nature, I don't want it, all right? Yeah. Yeah. But nevertheless, that's what's happened. So he's chosen you in him to be holy and without blame before him in love. That new man, all right? So we saw last week how that God saw that and he predestinated you under the adoption of children by himself. He's going to say that in Ephesians. And he talks about that adoption, to wit, the redemption of the purchased possession. So the new man inside of you doesn't need an imputed righteousness. It is the righteousness of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, and who knows sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God looks at your new man and says, there's my righteousness. There it is, okay? But what about your body? Okay? How can God take that to heaven? He adopts it. Okay? And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about, unto whom it shall be imputed. That imputation of righteousness shall happen to your flesh. It shall happen. if we believe on him who raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead. That's something where I'm waiting for my flesh to have the imputed righteousness that my inner man already has. And that's called the adoption, where God takes my body and now he says, hey, you're my son. But Russell Asquith begat this body, but I've adopted it. Mm-hmm. I am now the father, okay? Those of you who know my family, Mike and Tanya, they went through a drama where some children that had been raised in a crack house and some social services pulled them out. And Mike and Tanya took about 2-3 years to cancel the parental rights of the parents, okay? And they needed to be canceled, all right? And the state of North Carolina is more careful than most states on that, almost to the point of agony for, you know, for the children, all right? But they finally came when they canceled those parental rights. And Mike and Tanya were then in before a judge. We were there at the ceremony. It was one of the happiest days I think social services had had. Though most of the time social services gets nothing but defeat. Most of the time it's nothing but agony. Most of the time it's nothing but misery. And that day when 3 children were all adopted, it was a happy day, all right? And I mean, they were in the halls and parties and the judge loved it and everything was a wonderful thing. And what happened then is, now Michael could say, I'm your father. I'm your father. God the Father wants to do that with your body and say, I'm the Father. I've adopted you. You're mine, okay? That is a thing that then he has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, okay? That's going to happen. Your body will be like unto his body. That's Philippians 3:21, where he says, who takes your body makes it like his body, okay? So, again, when we look at predestination, we're looking at the rapture. We're looking at your body being changed. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're born again. Predestination has nothing to do with whether or not you're saved. That's your will. Once your will's been exercised, God has predestined you, knowing all along. You think God ever sat there and said, gosh, I wonder who will take this thing up and who won't. Mm-mm. God's known all along, okay? God's known all along. All right, so he says in verse 4 again, according to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, here's the thing to understand. God has many groups of people. We are not Israel, okay? There's people who teach that we are, okay? That we're the Israel. Those people over there in Jerusalem are nothing. We're the, no, that's not true. We are not Israel, okay? We are not the same as saints prior to the flood, okay? We're not the same as them. In a different situation, nobody ever worked their way towards God, but their promises were different. Look at the promises God made to Noah. Is those the promises we have? No, okay? We have far greater promises than Noah ever got, all right? Far greater, okay? Different groups, think of the angels, okay? There's the angels. God could have said, you know what? I've chosen that the angels are the ones that I'm going to have predestinated to have those bodies. But he didn't. He chose all those in Christ. He didn't say how you got Christ, did he? But his choice before the foundation of the world, not the angels, not the saints before Noah, not Israel, not the tribulation saints, he chose that those in Christ should be holy and without blame before him in love. That was his choice, and he decided, that's the group of people I'm going to do this with. That's who I'm going to do this wondrous thing for, okay? Now, verse 6, let's read 5 to get the context. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, he chose that you're the group it's going to be. You chose to be in the group. He chose that those in the group, this will happen, okay? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay? And it goes to this. Do you realize one of the things that's going to happen in the millennium is there's going to be a city built 4 square, okay, that's going to float in the heavens. 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, 1,500, 1,500. It's going to float in the heavens. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be inhabited by those who have inherited in the kingdom of God. And people will look and say, look at that. It'll be to the praise of God's glory. Look at that man up there that was a drunkard. Look at that man up there that was a fornicator and now is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at that woman that was just a common soul. And look at that woman that was a drunkard and a whore. Look at that woman who was vile and hateful and now washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Father gets the glory. Jesus Christ gets the glory. Okay? And to the praise of the glory of His grace. And people marvel over what's happened. Okay? This is what God sees. This is what God's looking for. Okay? Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He's broken it down two ways. Redemption through His blood. Okay? What does that mean? God made you. God purchased you, but God made you. Not only are those new bodies eternal in the heavens, but the Apostle Paul said this to the Greeks. He said, we are all His offspring. Now, that sounds like a liberal. That sounds like a liberal. You know what the liberals say? Well, the fatherhood of God, okay, and the family of man. And we say, no, only those born again have Him as a father. Father's a couple different ways. We saw this morning where God told Israel, I'll be a father unto you. That's not the same that I know. Adam was called the Son of God. Why? Because he was created by God. That's not how I know him as a father, but Adam could have called him father. Okay? Jesus Christ called him father because he was begotten of him. I am the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who my new man was born of him. Okay? And he is my father. Okay? But the Apostle Paul told all those Greeks, you're his offspring. And therefore, since we sprang forth from God, we ought to know the Godhead is not like unto gold and silver. What part of us sprang forth from God? Your personality. Your personality. See that young man, Trevor? His personality is the only one on this earth. It's the only one that will ever be made. It's unique to him. His mother was the first to discover that personality. Inside of Miss Chelsea, there's a personality, okay? She'll discover that personality before anyone else, okay? She writes you letters and stuff now, but you know. But the thing is, she'll pull out and discover. A little later, his brother, her brother, and Nate, they'll discover that personality. But that personality sprang forth from God. There's no such thing as a bad personality. There's bad character. Bad character. Your bad character makes your personality stick. Okay? Your bad character makes people not want to be around you. Okay? There's nothing more wonderful than when your personality is garbed in good character. That's a wonderful thing. Okay? In heaven, you won't have a character problem. Your personality won't change one bit whatsoever. Be the personality it is now. And let me tell you something. God loves that personality more than anyone else ever could. Okay? Trevor does his best to annoy his mother every way he can to try to show his independence. Doesn't make her not love that personality. Okay? But God loves that personality far more than she ever will. And if in a trillion years from now that personality is missing from heaven, there will be a spot in the heart of God sorrowing over that one that he didn't redeem, that was his, made from him, sprang forth from him, that wasn't redeemed. Don't you think God will ever get over that? Oh, he'll dry up all tears, and it says so. Will it be that spot? No. You know, my sister lost her son a year ago, 50 years old, and died of pancreatic cancer. It was hard. Okay? Hard was a child. Okay? 50 years old, she lost a child. John and Sharon lost a child. Hard. It's not an easy thing. Okay? Very, very hard. My sister was with my mother when she died. My sister was 7. And my mother collapsed and died. She ran across the road to the Methodist church there in Little Valley, right across the road, and ran in crying out for help. Okay? And they ran over there. And you know, my sister, she lived in the aftermath of that, watching your mother die and all that kind of stuff. And I wrote a thing to my sister and said, I said, I know that you've never ceased to mourn for our mother. I know that. You learned to put it in a place. You took that mourning and you put it in a place. It's there. Okay? And you learned to live with that. And from time to time, privately, you pull it out. You'd actually be afraid you'd lose that. You'd lose something of your humanity to lose that. And I say you'll do the same with your son, but you're weeping and you're mourning for him because you are a good person, because you do love, okay? And that's why you mourn as you do, and one day you'll put it in that place. And what more could God do than to become a man, to put up with the people on this earth for 30-some years? And again, in this church, it comes fairly close to what the Wesleys went to, where you had different classes of people in the church, okay? Different standards of cleanliness and living and all that kind of stuff. And had them all together and such. And Wesley had to teach the lords how to live with the peasants, and the peasants how to live with the lords or whatever else. And Jesus Christ, do you think it was easy for him to live in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, in Galilee, in Judea? What do you think of the one who, out of the ivory palaces, that angels used to come and tend to his every need and take care of him, clothed in righteousness? And what do you think it was like, okay? What do you think it was like living with those people and such? And that condensation that he had to do and humbled himself and became as a man. What do you think it was like for him to go through that, okay? And then on top of that, to endure the cross, it says he despised the shame. He despised it. I just can't even begin to imagine the shame of that. Being stripped naked and you know, beaten and the crown of thorns on your head and walking through and people mocking you and you know, and everyone you knew standing there seeing you naked and bleeding like that. And it says he despised the shame of that. But who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Despising the shame, okay? And there offered pardon on this cross for all that he has ever made. And there will be some who a trillion years from now will be in hell, really in the lake of fire. And God will have taken the sorrow over that personality being missed. He'll put it in that special place. When you grieve, you never quit grieving for that person. Those of you who lost a mother or somebody who lost somebody like that, it's not that you sit around all day mentally ill, can't get over anything. You've put it in a place. Okay? That's called being mentally healthy, okay? Emotionally healthy. You put it in a place, and it has its place, okay? And from time to time, whether you go to a graveyard or where you go or look at a scrapbook or something, you remember that person, God will never forget. Never going to forget Chris's personality. He's protected Ray Hannah's. He's protected hers. All right? There she is. All right? Never forget Trevor's. Never going to forget that. Okay? And if they were missing from heaven, there'll always be a thing in God because he redeemed that person and paid for them. And they never came to him. Verse 7 again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. If you think what it took for God to bring you to hear the word of God, tell me that God didn't use wisdom and God didn't use prudence. When you look at what it takes, again, I've said it over and over. I have people in here think you've been dealt every dirty thing in the world in my life and it's all awful. How many people hear the word of God today? How many people sit there where they can hear of the cross, hear of the word of God, hear of the plan of redemption, hear those things, and God's letting you hear because he's abounded towards you in all wisdom and prudence.
Amen.
Okay? Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now watch this, verse 10, that in the dispensation, what is that? How he dispenses something, okay? When was the dispensation of food done here? Between 12 and 1230. There was a dispensation of food, okay? We have a dispensation of paper towels. We have the holders. We have a dispensation of toilet papers. Now that's where Pastor Hank gets legalistic. All right, it's all got to hang exactly the right way. All right, what do we got? We call them towel dispensers for the dispensation of towels. So the dispensation of the fullness of time, when God finally begins to dispense and bring this out, all the fullness of time, everything he's ever planned, what God has always wanted for all eternity, when he pours all this out, okay, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, okay, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now that's what he's predestined is going to happen. That all things in Christ. Did it say he predestined you to be in Christ? Didn't say that, did it? Now read behind a Calvinist long enough and he'll convince you of that. But it's the old Sammy Allen thing. Sammy Allen always said, no man ever became a Calvinist by reading the Bible. They become a Calvinist by reading books. He just had lived long enough to watch some of his friends go that way and just realize that none of them ever, the book told him, look at this verse, put that verse here, put that verse there. You know, one of the things with religion is after a while, you can teach anything you want out of this Bible, all right? You're not fair when you do it, but you can teach anything you want out of this Bible, all right? Just put all these verses together this way, that way, and everything else. The challenge, and what I challenge you to do all the time, is to look at every verse freshly every time you look at it. It's a challenge for me when I read the Bible to read it anew, all right? To read it to find out what it's saying, not what I think it said, what it's saying. And then for God to show me where does this fit. And I'm always disappointed if I have a day reading and that hasn't happened to me on at least one verse, one passage somewhere. I'm disappointed if that hasn't happened, okay? Where somewhere in there, God hasn't shown me. If I go 2-3 days in a row, I know that I've been carnal. I realize something's wrong with me. Hey, there's something going on. I've read that Bible 2-3 days in a row. And there's not anything there. And you know how I know? Because every day I come over here and I walk with God and I talk to him about what I read. See? I talk to him about what I read. And I tell him what I learned. And sometimes I praise him over it, sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's dry stuff, and I talk to him. And sometimes I go, here's what I learned. Okay? You know what it is? That's why it's so good for me to come over and talk to him about it, because when I'm just fudging my Bible reading, oh, Pastor, you fudge your Bible reading? And I'm a human being, all right? And there's times I fudge my Bible reading, okay? I just sit there and read and, you know, what'd you read? You don't have any idea. You were thinking of yesterday's meal, what you're going to do tomorrow, your argument with your wife or something like that. And you get done, you don't have an idea what you read, all right? I've gone through that. That's why I try every day to talk to God about what I read in the Bible that day, okay? And I present it back to him, okay? And we discuss it and we go over it. And by doing that, it keeps me fresh. And when I've been cheating, I know I'm cheating. God knew all along, all right? I realize I'm not doing it. But there's times, oh, I'm just telling you, yesterday morning I came in here, it's just a glory. And the joy we share as we tarry there, my mother has ever known. It was just a glory. I mean, we just walked around. And you know what? I had to spend a long time talking to him about what he had to put up with over the years. And it seemed to please him. Okay? And it hasn't been pretty what God's had to put up with over the years. It hasn't been pretty at all what God's had to put up with, okay? And we had to go over that and talk about that. What a gracious and wonderful God he is, that he would ever reach out to me and put up with those things and be gracious to me in those things and cleanse me from those things, show mercy to me in those things. It's beyond the pale that he would do that, okay? It's a marvelous thing. Learn to read your Bible afresh. Get something new from it. Beg God for something new. Then it says this, verse 10 again. Then in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What's the predestination? The predestination is he chose, not the angels, not Israel, not the Old Testament saints. He didn't choose the tribulation saints. He chose those of you in Christ that you should be holy and without blame before him in love, and that you should be to the praise and the glory of his grace. He chose that and put that in you, gave in you by predestination that body, and now begs you to be conformed to the image of his son and how you live, and knowing that one day you'll be conformed to the image of his son in that resurrection. Okay? That's what's going on. Verse 12 again, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, talk about the apostles here, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And again, therein is eternal security. Mm-hmm. God sealed it. You're not going to break that seal. God sealed it. Okay? That new man is sealed. It cannot sin. It's sealed, it's settled, it's over, it's done, okay? Then it says this, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Isn't it interesting that when it talks about those things of predestination, that new body, that's where this earnest comes up, okay? Why? Because we don't have that new body now. How do I know I'm going to get a new body? Because he gave me the Spirit of God. He gave me that Spirit of promise. He gave me the Spirit of adoption. Okay? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? That's how. Alright? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What's that purchased possession? Your body. Your body. The day's going to come. He's going to redeem that. Same thing he said in Romans 8. If you compare them together, the exact same thing. Okay? To wit, the redemption of our bodies. To wit, the redemption of that purchased possession. He's going to come and he's going to take that. That's what God's longing to do. It's the resurrection of your bodies, if you are in Christ, is as sure as the holiness of God. It is as sure as the words of a King James Bible. It is as sure is the Trinity itself. It is as sure as the purity of the Holy Ghost. It is as sure as all the promises of God. It is something that will happen. Pastor Hayne?